I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Thank you to Linus Van Pelt for that beautiful scripture reading. That moment, if you're familiar with a Charlie Brown Christmas, which I've introduced my kids to that this Christmas, as you could tell, my little girl, Snoopy, as soon as it came on. That moment where Linus reads Luke chapter 2 is the culmination of the entire plot of a Charlie Brown Christmas. And if you know much about Peanuts, you know that Charlie Brown is a character who is prone to depression. He's prone to melancholy. He's like kind of like Eeyore. He's always melancholy, always sad. And the Christmas season in this particular made-for-TV episode only seemed to exacerbate his melancholy. The over-commercialization of the holiday of Christmas just frustrated his little brain. And the Christmas, he was frustrated by the over-commercialization of the holiday. If you remember, he was directing a Christmas play and nothing was working out quite like he wanted it to. And he was frustrated. It wasn't coming together. Everyone was making fun of his Christmas tree that he had. And Lucy, as always, kept snatching away footballs from him while he was trying to kick, you know. And in his desperation is when he cries out and he says, Does anybody know what Christmas is all about? And then there comes little Linus Van Pelt with his thumb in his mouth and his blanket in his hand. And he reads from Luke chapter 2, the story of Jesus' birth. And he turns to Charlie Brown and says, That is what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. And I love Christmas, and I especially love Christmas here in New York City. A few weeks ago, my wife and I took our annual date night into Manhattan, where we did all the touristy things, and we did them unashamedly. You know, we went to Union Square Holiday Market, we drank overpriced hot chocolate and apple cider, we listened to the carolers, we went to Macy's, we danced with the Salvation Army guys, we walked up Fifth Avenue, looked in the windows. I don't know if you've been to Lord & Taylor, which is just unbelievable. We went to Rockefeller Plaza, embarked and endured the masses of tourists, and we took the selfie in front of the tree just like we wanted to. And then we actually saw the Today Show props, and I took a picture with a nutcracker. We were tourists for a night. It was awesome. And I love, people ask all the time, they say, what's Christmas like in New York? And I say, it's everything you would imagine it to be. It's incredible. There's such a buzz in this city around Christmas time. I mean, New Yorkers aren't particularly known for being nice, even though I think we are. But this time of year, people seem to be nicer. And there's a sense that people seem to have that Christmas is about something bigger than just our ordinary lives. There's something bigger than the ordinary around Christmas time. Gardner C. Taylor, who probably the greatest preachers of the 20th century, pastored here in Brooklyn in Bed-Stuy at Concord Baptist Church for over 40 years. And he said this to his congregation on Christmas Eve 1967 about Christmas in New York. He said, It's Christmas again. The time when the countenance loses its frigidness and stoniness and becomes wreathed in smiles and human interest. A lilt is in the land and a song is on the air. Christmas is a time of mystery. The world becomes suddenly and for a while fresh again, and eyes accustomed to squinting with suspicion for a while in open and honest surprise and gladness. The least spiritually sensitive person among us senses that what Christmas celebrates is something far and away beyond the ordinary. Mystery, a strange, inexplicable event whose meaning we cannot fully discern, transpires at Christmas. Christ is born, he says. Something new, something decisive, winsome, wonderful, redeeming has occurred. Christ is born. And knowing little of the theological terms, we feel that God is near. Oh, surely we recognize and admit the human trimmings, the tinsel in the trees, the carols in the candy, the laughter of children, and the singing of choirs. But underneath it all, there lies something else, the Christmas mystery. And in the midst of all the over-commercialization and all the advertisements and all just the hullabaloo around the holidays, there lies within New Yorkers a sense that Christmas carries with it a profound mystery about the hope of the world. And in that passage that Linus read, he talks about an angel coming to shepherds at night. And the angel says, "Fear not," to the shepherds, which is a good intro, is a good thing to say, because I don't know about you, but if I were sitting in a pasture one night and a winged human-like creature comes to me in the middle of a field, fear is going to be exactly what I feel at that moment. So he says, "Fear not," but he says, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." This angel tells the shepherds that he has good news. Good news that erases their need for fear. "Fear not," he says. This is good news that brings comfort and joy and peace and security. The good news that the angel has is that the Messiah has come. God is here. He says in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And you have to understand the history of God's people up to this point in the Bible. They have been waiting for centuries for a promise to be fulfilled. Centuries for the promise of a Messiah to come to be fulfilled. And during that time, they had been in slavery. They had been ruled by tyrant kings. They've been exiled in foreign lands that oppose their commitment to God. But God had long ago promised them, right after they had sinned, right after they had been cast out of the garden, he said, "I promise you, I am sending a Messiah who will come and will save the world from their sins. And is going to put the world to rights and fix what is broken." And for centuries, they wondered about that promise. Has God forgotten us, they thought? He said a king was coming to fix everything, but where is he? See, they had been going in and out between horrible judges and rulers and tyrant kings, and they've been exiled, and they're wondering, well, where is this promised king? And they oscillated all throughout the Old Testament between hope and expectation and disappointment and disillusionment. Did God forget us, they thought? Or are we destined to live under oppression forever? But this angel comes to them and says, "The wait is now over. The Lord has arrived, and God has made good on his promise that he promised so long ago." And of course, these shepherds were probably skeptical in that moment. So the angel gives them a way to verify his good news. He says, "This is a sign for you," in verse 12. "You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And sure enough, when the shepherds went and explored, they found that in Bethlehem there was indeed a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes being held by his mother Mary and his father Joseph. And lying in the manger, it wasn't the setting that you would expect to see a king. It was in an old horse trough. But this isn't where you would expect to see a king, but this wasn't an ordinary king. He didn't come on a throne with privilege, but rather he came in humility so that he could relate to everyone, could relate to us all, the rich, the poor, the privileged, and the underprivileged. He came so that he could be the Savior for everyone, not only the elite. And if he wanted to be the Savior for everyone, he had to come in a humble way. And there he was, born, no room in the inn, born where the horses were. And it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" And here's what I want you to see here on Christmas Eve, and this is going to be short, is that the presence of Jesus in our world ought to cast out all fear, anxiety, and striving. See, this is what we celebrate at Christmas as Christians. Joy to the world, we celebrate. The Lord has come. See, Christians, Christmas ought to recalibrate our hearts and our minds away from our daily striving and attempting to earn and achieve here in this world. Christmas calls us to learn to rest in the joy of God. See, we live in a city that values achievement and hard work and earning and success probably more than any other city. And it's not a bad thing to value success and working and striving, but in a city like ours, it can often lead us to feeling like we have the weight of the world on our shoulders. We feel sometimes like our success is up to us, our security is up to us, our identity is up to us. And many of you work in Midtown, and so you may walk down Fifth Avenue very often around the GE building, and maybe you've seen this particular picture. This particular statue. This is right at Rockefeller Plaza, right on Fifth Avenue and at the GE building. This is a statue of Atlas. And it's a depiction of Atlas carrying the weight of the entire world on his back. Thousands of people walk past this statue every day, millions of people every year. And it's such a picture, it seems, of the life of a New Yorker. We all seem to, we were straining and gritting our teeth, and we all seem to walk around with the weight of the world on our shoulders, whether it is wanting to provide for our families as mothers and fathers, or it's the weight of wanting to be successful or providing or making a difference in the world. Perhaps it's wanting to do something great for God's kingdom. Maybe you want to do something great for God and you feel that weight. See, often our desires to make a difference in the world often lead us to gritting our teeth and straining our muscles, and we end up tired and we end up exhausted. But there's a beautiful thing that many of you may not know, and that is that across the street from the GE building is St. Patrick's Cathedral. Atlas, in fact, with his muscles and with his straining, he's actually facing St. Patrick's Cathedral. And if you've ever been inside of St. Patrick's Cathedral, if you go behind the high altar, you'll find a small statue. And it's a very small statue, and it's a statue of toddler Jesus. And it is an incredible juxtaposition to the statue of Atlas. It's a picture of six-year-old Jesus with the world comfortably being held in his hands. But he isn't straining, he isn't struggling, but he's radiating peace as he effortlessly holds the weight of the world in his palms. And think about the juxtaposition of two statues right there on Fifth Avenue. You've got Atlas, this big, strong, powerful person, straining as hard as he can to bear the weight of the world on his shoulders, and he looks like it's about to crush him. But then right across the street is a child, Jesus, holding the weight of the world in his hands. And I don't know about you, I don't know what weight you carry with you this year. You have all these fears and anxieties in your life, but the message of Christmas is that you don't have to bear those alone any longer. The message of Christmas is that Christ has come to lift the burdens off of the backs of his people. This is what it says in the scriptures. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's the message of the gospel, and that's the invitation of Jesus. In A Charlie Brown Christmas, circling back around, we all love that scene where Linus reads the nativity story. But there's actually a moment in that scene that you probably haven't noticed.
And many of you may know that Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts, he was a Christian, a committed Christian. And he, in fact, left a very subtle but very profound theological mark on that particular scene. Linus, as you may know, is known for his blue security blanket. He always has his blue security blanket. He's always got his thumb in his mouth. And he carries his blanket with him all the time. And throughout the story of Peanuts, through all the comics, through all the television specials, throughout the whole story, you find that Lucy and Snoopy and Sally and all the rest of them, they all try their very best to separate Linus from his blanket with no success. But they often ridicule him. They make fun of him. You know, are you a baby? Why do you have this blanket? You know, what do you need? But he refuses to give up his blanket. It's security for him. He's afraid of what the world would be like without his security blanket, and he doesn't give it up, not even with people making fun of him. But there's this one moment where he drops the blanket, right in the middle of him reading Luke chapter 2. He lets go of the blanket. Look at this picture. He drops the blanket. You guys can go back and watch this tonight. He drops the blanket exactly when the moment he says, "Fear not." Author Jason Sororsky writes about this moment that Charles Schulz left for us. He says, looking at it now, it's pretty clear what Charles Schulz was saying through all of this. And it's so simple, yet so brilliant. The birth of Jesus separates us from our fears. The birth of Jesus frees us from the habits we are unable or unwilling to break ourselves. The birth of Jesus allows us to simply drop the false security that we have been grasping so tightly and learn to trust and cling to Him instead. The world of 2016 can be a scary place, and most of us find ourselves grasping to something temporal for security, whatever that thing may be. Essentially, 2016 is a world in which it is very difficult for us to fear not. But in the midst of fear and insecurity, this simple cartoon image from 1965 continues to live on as an inspiration for us to seek true peace and true security in the one place it has always been and can always still be found, at the feet of Jesus. The child king who would grow up to conquer sin and death and save the world from ourselves and lead us into an eternal kingdom. Does anyone know what Christmas is all about?
Yes.
That is what Christmas is all about. Charlie Brown, let's pray.